are going to be looking at the second part of our series on Ruth. It is entitled Hope and the Providence of God. We're going to start with verse 1 and chapter 1, verse 19, and carry on through the rest of chapter 2, ending at 2:23. So we know that Ruth is a story of love and devotion of a Moabite woman who forsakes her pagan god, her culture, and her family in order to remain and cling to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and to the people of Israel, and to their God. Her loyalty to her mother-in-law and her faithfulness is rewarded by God, that we'll see here in the second chapter of Ruth. She's going to end up with a new husband and become the great-grandmother of King David. And according to the fifth verse of Matthew chapter 1, she's also in the lineage. She has the privilege of being in the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, the author of Ruth is unknown, but we believe that it was probably written during the time of David as king. And the setting last week was in Moab. Today it will be in Bethlehem, and it's during the times of the judges. We have 5 points. First point is, through hope, Ruth saw a need. The second point, confident with hope, Ruth sought a solution. Third point, guided by hope, Ruth secured a position. The fourth is, because of hope, Ruth showed appreciation. And then the fifth one is, with hope fulfilled, Ruth shares her reward. Ruth shares her reward. That's the fifth point of our message today. So the last time that we saw these characters, these people in this story, we know that Abimelech, the husband of Naomi and the father of his two sons, had left Bethlehem in search of food because of a famine. And the famine was, of course, there in the land of Canaan, or in the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because there was a famine. They had done some things wrong. There was apostasy in the land, and God was disciplining the people by having a famine so that they would reach out and look to him for help. Because they did not stay where they should have stayed and taken the discipline that God had meted out, they decided to go to the land of Moab, which was not in God's will. I stated last week that the child, God's son, was to be born in Bethlehem, and he would come out of the family of Abimelech. So the three Magi who were there, all the things that was supposed to take place throughout the birth of Christ was supposed to happen in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. So the bread of life, Jesus, John 6:35, was to be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, not in Moab, where Elimelech had moved his family to. So God allowed Elimelech to die and the two sons to die. Now, there is no way for a child to be born to the family because all the men are dead. So God has to use his providence to get Ruth and Naomi back to Bethlehem, to the house of bread, so that Micah 5:2, which will be prophesied later on, will come true, that a child, his son, will be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. So God is working things out for his glory and for his purpose. But there's hope. And there's hope in the providence of God throughout all of this. And today we're going to see just how that unfolds. We're going to see how that unfolds. So let's look then at chapter 1 and verse 19. Now the two of them, that's Naomi and that's Ruth, went until they came to Bethlehem. Now this was a treacherous journey, for they had to go up a mountain and then down the mountain in order to get from Moab to Bethlehem. This could have been anywhere from 60 to 100 miles. And last time that we looked and learned of Naomi, she said she was out of childbearing age. So we know that she was not a very young woman. So to go on that journey from Moab to Bethlehem was arduous on her body. And she was already in grief because of the loss of her husband and her two sons. Now, Naomi's name means blessed or beautiful, happy, and she wasn't in that particular mindset because of what had happened. So it says, and it happened. Now, this is how God says that we need to pay attention. When he says things like this, behold, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? Next verse. But she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. 2 points here. One, some people may feel like God was being mean to this family. All they wanted was to go somewhere where there was food available. Why wasn't it okay for them to go to the land of Moab? Well, here's the thing. The people who are in the city of Bethlehem, did they not recognize Naomi? They knew who she was, right? Did they go to Moab to get food? Does that mean that God took care of them for those 10 years that they are away? Well, then that helps us understand that it was not okay for Elimelech to go to Moab. He could have been provided for had he stayed there in Bethlehem. And God would not have had to go through all this process to get the family back to Bethlehem. And if you note that she's now calling herself bitter. Sometimes when someone has finally come to a place where they need to go back to God, they sometimes carry a basket with them, a basket of pain, a basket of circumstances, things not going right in their life. So even though they got saved or they got came back to the Lord, they're not necessarily very happy because they're still messing around in their pain. She says, "The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." Now, let me tell you, that's her opinion. That's not God's opinion. That's hers. Next verse. "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again." Look what she says. "Empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Why do you call me beautiful? Why you call me blessed? Since the Lord has testified," oh, now she's saying God is looking at her and he's patting his foot. He's shaking his head. He's wagging his finger at her. "And the Almighty has afflicted me." Look at herself. Is she looking to God for restoration? Or is she more or less looking to God going, "Okay, I took your spanking, but I didn't like it." Don't you know that sometimes when children do something wrong and the parent has to discipline them, and then the parent has the nerve to say, "I did that because I love you." And the child go, I don't know about that one. Next verse. We're going to go to our first point here. And our first point, all right, through hope, Ruth saw a need. Through hope, Ruth saw a need. Look what the Bible says as we look in verse 22. "So Naomi returned." Where was she? In Moab or in Bethlehem? God, she's in the right place now. She's in the right place now. And Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now, they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of what's called the barley harvest. Now, here's what's important. It's during this time of the barley harvest that it's now time to go get all the food that has been growing during the summertime. It's now time to reap the benefits of all the hard work, all the labor that was done, as God was now no more famine, but now he was giving them the provisions that they needed for sustenance. And they were thankful to God for that, because now, oh, they got plenty of food. They got bukus and bukus of food to eat there now in the house of bread in Bethlehem. So this is the beginning of the barley harvest. Why did they leave in the first place? A famine. Why is she coming back? Because God has restored and blessed and put out his blessing there on the people in Bethlehem. Next verse. "There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech." Oh, now we're cooking. Wait a minute now. All the men were dead. How is the Lord Jesus Christ going to come out of the lineage if all the men are dead? Oh, well, hey, wait a minute. There's somebody who's from Bethlehem. His name was Boaz. His name was Boaz. You know, Naomi, as I indicated, was bitter. She was depressed. She was destitute. Sometimes when people, as we noted, come back to a place where they can call home, they're not doing that well. One of my professors in Bible college was a man who had a radio ministry, good guy, and he had been involved in prison ministry. And he noted that when the people who left the correctional center were now back in the public, that some of them didn't do well. Not only because so many of them did not have the skill sets, they did not have a father to teach them some of the things that they needed to learn to be a good man, someone who could provide for his family, and sometimes they struggled. And he talked about how they weren't in good shape when they left the correctional facilities. Many times because they could not find employment, they could not find a good situation to live in, and they were kind of out there. And so, like Naomi, their circumstances loomed large in their basket that they carried with them. Now, Ruth, on the other hand, she left everything behind when she left the land of Moab. So Ruth sees a need. She sees a need because while her basket is a basket of hope, she's emptied it of all the things she left behind so that she could come and worship and dwell with the people of God there in Bethlehem. And that, as we saw last week, that she said her Naomi's God was her God. Naomi's people was her people. Even to the point that even if I don't have a husband, even if I don't have another child, I'm going to die where you die because I'm committed. Her basket of hope was full of hope. Naomi's basket was full of stuff, circumstances, pain, desolation. And so Ruth, she was sticking by Naomi because she loved her, and she was able to see this desperate state that she was in. So she became aware of Naomi's needs, and she saw that Naomi was depressed, not in a good place. And when she saw Naomi's needs, she wanted to do something. We also need to be aware of those around us that sometimes when people are going through a rough spot, they need to have our encouragement. Sometimes they may need our physical or our financial help because they're having a rough spot. So we want to make sure, like Naomi, who's in this place, that there's someone like a Ruth who's going to be sensitive to the needs. So in point number two, we find that there's confidence with hope. Confident with hope, Ruth sought a solution. Confident with hope, Ruth, having seen a need, she sought a solution. They had returned during the barley harvest, there in verse 22. God is a God of perfect timing. He now has them in the house of bread, right when the grain is being harvested. So now he's making provisions for Naomi. Now, even though Naomi still has her basket of stuff, and it's hard for her to peek around all the stuff that's in her basket, she can't see God's hand moving. Ruth, on the other hand, she sees it. Now, there was a relative in chapter 2, verse 1, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So now I want you to know that the Lord, while Naomi can't see it, he's got his hands all in the details. He's got his hand all in the details. You know, the Bible says that he can, just like the rivers, he can shape the heart of a king. How many of you remember that many times during the time of Moses and Pharaoh, that sometimes Pharaoh hardened his heart, and other times God hardened Pharaoh's heart? For he was moving things to get his plan in place. God can do that. And he does it because he wants to get the glory. And now he's doing this both for Ruth and Naomi's good. We're introduced to this new character, Boaz. He's a relative of Naomi's late husband. And he's a wealthy farmer who owns some fields. His involvement in this story is essential to this book's theme of restoration and redemption. Ruth saw the problem of poverty there, and she requested that she be allowed to go and glean. Gleaning was something that the poor did. Those who had money, if you will, those who had position, they went to the store, if you will. Even though they went to the fields, it's like they're going to the store because this belongs to them. Ruth, on the other hand, was a foreigner and she was poor. So she would be gleaning while others are spending their time just reaping from the harvest. And it was her right to do so. Leviticus 19, verse 9 through 10. It talks about when you reap the harvest of your land. I think we have that one on the screen. When you reap the harvest, now this is God's way, folks, of helping the needy. This is God's way of helping the needy without making them look destitute. In other words, they had to work to get this food. And so there was some dignity in that. But in God's economy, this is how he took care of the poor and the foreigners. Look what he says in Leviticus 19, verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. In other words, don't be like these other countries that the prophet, I'm taking all of this and I'm going to make myself some money. In God's way, he said, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. Think of a picture frame, just like the screen here. See that black on the frame? Those are the corners of the field. God says, leave that alone. Don't take that grain. Leave it be. Nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. That means the leftover stuff. Look at the next verse. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. Same thing. Why? You shall leave them for the who? And the? All right, that's the foreigner. And look what he says after he says that. Do you think that's important? What's he say? I am the Lord your God. So this was something that God intended to have available to help those who were in need. He didn't want someone left out. So look at how God has provided the provisions for the poor. So that means that Ruth, according to this section of scripture, she has a right to go and glean. Got that? Now, let's get back to the story. Ruth must have learned some scripture when she was in Abimelech's house, either from her husband or from Naomi, because she knew about this passage of scripture. That's why when she saw that Naomi was in need, this woman needs some food, she's in a bad way, I'm going to apply God's word in this situation. Don't you know you need to know what God has to say in his word so you can do what you need to do? You're not ignorant, right? When we know what God has to say, we can count on his promises when we know what his promises are. Watch this in part three. Part two is hope. Part three is guided by hope, Ruth secured a position. Guided by hope, Ruth secured a position. All right, let's go. Next verse. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, how many of you know that she didn't just happen to come to the part of the field that was owned by Boaz? Oh, no. She didn't just happen to come. No, we know something different. Guided by hope, Ruth secured her position. Ruth, when she left and went and gleaned in the field of the reapers, it was the providence of God that this field belonged to Boaz. Can we look at Psalms 32 and verse 8? Psalms 32 and verse 8. Look what God says. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. God is saying, in this case, she wasn't just picking a place to go. God had a place for her to pick from. He was guiding her through the providence of God to go to the place of this particular man, Boaz. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about here. God ain't playing around. Remember, last week I talked about Steve's Bible study, the first one that we had in June. And he drew a line at the top, and that was eternity. And I would like to say it was also God's perfect will. And then he drew another line that was representative of you and I in time. And every now and then, that line that we have would jump up and tickle the upper line, which is God's perfect will. So every now and then, we, in our stuff, are doing exactly what God wants us to do. Got that? And so here's where a line in Ruth's life is touching up with God's perfect will. For he has directed her to this field that belongs to Boaz because it's part of God's ultimate plan, his perfect will. Next verse. Now behold, Boaz came from where? And not Moab, right? All right. And he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. He's a good employer. He's a godly man. He don't treat his employees bad. He's a godly man. And they said, the Lord bless you. So he's a righteous guy. Then Boaz said to a servant who was in charge of the reapers. Now there's reapers and there's gleaners. The reapers are the employees. The gleaners are the poor and the foreigners who come to pick up what's left over. So he says, whose young woman is this? Because the other women who were reaping were his employees. They were his young women who worked for him. But he's noticing that there's something different. I see somebody else. Who is this woman? Next verse. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. Now, Bethlehem was not a large city. It's still not a large city. It was much smaller back in this time frame. And so he's noticing that somebody else, and you remember when Naomi and Ruth first returned to Bethlehem and they recognized Naomi? That story got around. So I want you to know that Boaz had heard about this young lady before. I come from a small town, population 800. And we didn't have house numbers on our homes like we do here in Virginia. If you want to know where Mr. Kaysen's house was, and you ask somebody, say, well, you go down to the store and you make a left turn at the street, and then you get on what's called a Murphy Street. And he's about three doors down. When I was working in Winston-Salem for AT&T, my employer, who was a Navy chief, and he was hard as nails, and he sat there and he said, son, what's your address? I don't have an address. Where do you live? In Winton. Well, on Murphy Street. Well, don't you have an address? No, sir. He got mad at me. How do people know where you live? Well, you ask somebody where Mr. Kaysen's house is, and they'll tell you take a left, and then you take a right, and then you get on Murphy. Small town, word starts to spread. It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. Now, I want you to take note that she sticks out. She sticks out. Next verse, we're going to find out why. Look what it says. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Now, she's asking, because she has the right to ask, can I glean from this field? But there was something different about it. Look what it says. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. What he's saying here is, this girl is working. She ain't playing. I mean, look at her work. I mean, she's out there working. She no lazy somebody. Listen, she's not getting paid to work. She's working to help her mother-in-law. So when he sees that, even though she's not being paid to work, but she's working faster than some of those who are getting paid, oh, now, Boaz, I need to check her out. Look at the next verse. Then Boaz said to Ruth, because he went over there to talk to her, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close with my young women. Now, he knows that she is related to Naomi, Elimelech's widow. In other words, Ruth is family. How many of you know that when family needs help, you want to step up, don't you? When your family is in need. And he knew the story that Naomi was in need. So he said, don't you go to my else's field. You stay in this field. Don't go anywhere else. You stay here with my young women. So now, instead of being on the corners of the field, oh, she's now in the good stuff. She's getting the good things. All right, she's working along with his employees. She's no longer gleaning from the outskirts of this field. Oh, how many of you know who Rahab is from the book of Joshua? Did you know who Boaz was? He's Rahab's little boy who grew up. You see, his mother was a prostitute at the time, and she saw the Israelites coming, and the God that they served was taking down folks. And so Rahab, she helped these two spies to keep from getting captured. And then she said to them, don't leave me here. Save me. I want to be part of you folks, because I know when you guys get here that your God is going to topple this place. So I want to leave everything I have behind, just like Ruth, so I can become part of your people, just like Ruth. Do you think that Boaz, whose mother was a Canaanite, could see a little bit of Ruth in his life, just like mother Rahab? He knew what she went through and how she helped. Now he's seeing Ruth, just like his mom, who was a foreigner and wanting to be part of God's family, came along. So yes, he was looking at her. She probably could have reminded him of his mother. And so by grace, he offered this generous offer to her. In verse 9, look what it says. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, no longer on the corners, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. He's offering her grace. She had no right to the good part of the field. She did have a right to the outside, the corners of the field, but he's given her some grace. Don't you know that Ruth has met someone who is a type of Christ? You see, in this story, Boaz is a type of Christ. He is one who gives grace. He is one who wants to bring restoration to the family. He's one who's going to be a kinsman's redeemer. Ruth is like the Gentiles who were not part of Abraham's clan, not part of the children of Abraham, but she wanted to, and she left all behind to become part of Abraham's family, just like us saved folk. We're out there in the world, but now we are also children of Abraham and children of God. And Naomi, she was a type of Israel. In other words, Israel turned her back on God. But God sent his son to die for both the Gentiles and the Jew so he could restore Israel to his family. So we see in this story the same reflection of what it means to be a Christian and a Jew in the eyes of God, because there is a redeemer, a kinsman's redeemer in the case of Boaz. In those days, it was not good to be a foreigner, and it wasn't always good to be a woman by herself, because men often did bad things to women. And he said, don't none of y'all touch her. Don't you touch her. Don't harass her. Make sure she's safe. Make sure she's safe. So now we go to our fourth point in verse 10. It's because of hope that Ruth showed appreciation. Look what it says in verse 10. What was her response to Boaz's offer of grace to her, offer of blessing to her, even though she didn't deserve it. It says in verse 10 that she fell on her face. She bowed down to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor or grace in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner?" Moabites were not considered folk you want to hang around with. But it's important for us to understand this when she gives him this, because what God is doing through Boaz is he's giving her favor or grace. Isn't what she said in the beginning? Let me go out and glean in the fields that I might find favor or grace in the eyes of someone who would let me glean from that fields. Well, she's found him. And she's astonished because the grace that she's been given was far more than what she expected. So she's overwhelmed by the fact that he's given her this unmerited grace. Boaz had noticed her. This is, in a way, God's divine election. God noticed you and I, who were Gentiles, and he desired that we should be part of the family. That's why, even though we were yet without strength, according to Romans 5:6, we know that Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. This divine election is God being rich in mercy as he takes notice of us, just as Boaz took notice of Ruth. See, Boaz is really a picture of the Lord for you and me. And Ruth is going to become his bride like Christ's bride, the church. That's a match that's made in heaven. So let's go now to our next point. Point number 5. With hope fulfilled, Ruth shared her reward. Let's look at the next verse. And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before." Verse 12. "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." That's phrases used quite often in the Old Testament. It's the understanding of when the birds' children, her baby birds, are in danger, and she unfolds her wings and they come underneath her wings for protection. That's what he is saying here. "We're going to have some protection for you, my daughter Ruth." Now, he's an older man, a middle-aged man. He's not as young as some of the people working for him, but he's looking out for his kin. Look at the next verse. "Then she said, 'Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me.'" Wasn't she looking for hope? Oh, she's getting her hope. She's getting her basket of hope feel good now, overflowing. "For you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant." That's not something a Moabite would expect. "Though I am not like one of your maidservants." Next verse. "Now Boaz said to her at mealtime." Now, did she bring her lunch from home? She didn't have no lunch at home to bring. And because she was a foreigner, she wasn't going to be allowed to sit near the Jewish women. She had to be by herself. Boaz going, no. "When I said grace and blessings to you, I want you to come up to our table. Because we got the good stuff at this table. We got the good eats over here. Ruth, you come over here and have some of our food." And She ate and was satisfied and kept some back. Why is she keeping some back? Naomi hungry, ain't she? So she's got some of this good food. She's got the takeout, right, from the good restaurant. So she's putting that to the side to take home to her mother-in-law. Next verse. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let me do a little something here. Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Next verse. Also let grain from the bundles, that's the good stuff now, fall purposely for her. Leave that she may glean, and don't rebuke her. Now, if you got a boss that say, hey, you drop some of the good stuff, boy. I ain't paying you to leave that on the ground. Pick that up. He said, no. Let her have some of that. Let her get some of the good stuff. Oh, he's looking out for old Ruth. Next verse. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. And there was about an ephah of barley. That's about 30 to 50 pounds. 30 to 50 pounds. One of them big, giant-sized dog food bags in the store. It's enough for a week for her and Naomi. Look at the next verse. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. It's like she went to Costco and bought up a whole aisle of stuff. Girl, where you get all that? So she brought out and gave her what she had kept back, her takeout lunch, after she had been satisfied. Next verse. And her mother-in-law said to her, where in the world have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Because gleaning wasn't expected to have a whole lot of stuff. Remember, it's just the outside of the field. Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Ruth has given her mother some hope. Remember all that circumstance that was in Naomi's basket? She couldn't see God's hand working to help her because all the stuff that was in her basket. Now that Ruth has poured some hope in her basket, she's now seeing, wait a minute, I see God at work in this. Oh, look, the man's name is Boaz. She knows who Boaz is. Next verse. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. Now, that's talking about the kinsman's redeemer. We'll talk about next week. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Next verse. Ruth, the Moabite, said, he also said to me, you shall stay close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest. In other words, she's got a steady J-O-B, not as an employer, right? She's not part of his crew. Oh, but she's working with his crew. And he said, you come back every day. Now, next verse, 22. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, baby girl, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. Don't you go nowhere else, girl. I see God. I realize I called God hurting me, and all I could see was pain, even though I came back to him. But now I'm starting to see the hand of God in all of this. I'm starting to see the providence of God in all of this. Oh, wait a minute. I'm starting to see that God is at work in this. Look at this next verse, our last one. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. I want you to check this out, okay? That sometimes when we think that things aren't going well for us, Naomi begins to recognize the hand of God in these seemingly happenstance circumstances. But she knows there's something more than that. Saints, I'm telling you that we need to look at what God is doing with us. Even if it's something that looks like and smells like and tastes like affliction, some punishment. It could be something that has been designed by God to do us good. We can't afford to be short-sighted when we see our circumstances piling up against us. We got to look for God's hand in this. Sometimes when people abandon God and they see the disastrous consequences of their actions, God is still faithful. Remember that song that was sung? He's still faithful, folks. Naomi's pessimism. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. It's starting to change now. Once she saw and perceived God's hand in the matter, that God was behind these circumstances, these accidental happenings, these events. Ruth gleaning in the field. Ruth getting the blessings and the shower of blessings by having the grace of God poured out on her so that she could get all of the blessings that Boaz had bestowed on her. The famine, the death of her husband, the arduous journey back to Bethlehem. All of that, through the providence of God, is about to change Naomi's life. Remember I said we want to look at Ruth through the eyes of Naomi? That's how you want to read it, so you can see what God is doing in the life. Naomi's blessings were the result of God's providence, and they will be greater than her earlier losses. So let us emulate Naomi in coming to the realization that at times, God is choreographing, he's moving pieces around, he's moving things around, even some of those horrible times in our lives in order to fulfill his purposes. Yielding to his purpose will give us the desire of our hearts. Next week, we're going to see that Naomi, she's tickled pink now. She's starting to think of something. A wedding between Ruth and Boaz. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. It's going to be a blessing. Remember the title of this message, Hope and the Providence of God. Don't allow yourself to always just think of what you see in front of you is all that there is. Sometimes God's working behind the scenes for your good and for his glory. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the hope. We thank you for the providence that you have provided to us. We can look back today and see things that have a different perspective than what we thought happened. And we can see your hand in our lives. We ask that you allow us to continue to see these things so that we can give you the glory and affirm how blessed we are by being thankful for that which we receive from you. Lord, we thank you for this story of Boaz, who was a type of Christ, and how he bestowed grace and blessings on Ruth, just as the Son, by dying on the cross, has allowed us to have the blessings of salvation available to us when we have asked Christ to redeem us and to save us and to restore us and be reconciled to the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.